Good morning, everyone.
Let's just bow our heads in prayer.
Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are here. This is a beautiful day. Feels so good. And so, Father, I just pray that you would be with the people today, and may we learn more about how it is to be a Christian. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, this morning we're going to look at the subject, your actions speak louder than your words. And we've probably all heard that saying many times, but I'd like to just emphasize that this morning from Satan's Eden, number 79. Brother Branham said, your voice, you know what? Your action speaks so loud it drowns your voice. Let me go to a man and say, we're all Christians. We belong to church, and stripteases hanging all over his office. It wouldn't make no difference what he told me. I know better, and so would you. Let a woman say that she's a Christian with short hair. You know better than that, see? Matthew 7:16 says, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. So a true minister of the gospel cannot bring forth false doctrine, period. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Remember, Brother Branham said the fruit is the teaching of the season. So a corrupt tree, a Trinitarian, a oneness, whatever, cannot bring forth the truth, okay? Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So anyone not preaching the truth is going to be hewn down, okay? Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. So your actions speak louder than your words. You can say one thing, but your actions speak different. If your actions speak different, then then you are either living a lie or you are a hypocrite. But either way, you are proven to be liars. Yes, sir. Let her say she's a Christian wearing pants and makeup and shorts, and she says she's a Christian. You know better than that. The Word of God teaches you better than that. So many today are riddled with tattoos and wearing clothes that would make a prostitute blush and then profess that they are Christians. We know better than that. By their fruits, you shall know them. The Word says she can do it and be a good Christian. She is even dishonorable in everything. How's God going to put a dishonorable thing in his kingdom? No, sir, not at all. No, sir, themselves, it shows their desire. Notice here that he said the way that you live shows what your desire is, that and that's your attitude towards God and his word. From Uncertain Sound, he says, the man who possesses it, the woman who possesses it, what a blessed person they are. No wonder David said that they were blessed, the blessed person. Lay him upon the operating table and try to cut the bleeding out of him, you'll never find it. It's a hidden power. It's a hidden something. It's there. Every man and woman that ever had knew that they got it. No uncertainty about it. Every man that's born of the Spirit of God knows when he's passed from death unto life, knows the place, the hour, the minute when death changed to life, when unbelief of the Bible changed to belief of every word of it, when haughty, high-minded things passed to humble Christian, to know when death passed to life. Amen. Every man that had it has something different. The world knew it. Every man had it has something different, and the world knew it. The world cannot see it. Your actions prove what you are. You can say you got it, but your actions speak so loud that you can't hear your voice. Your life speaks what you are. Notice that your life is the sum of all your thoughts, and your actions are the very manifestation of that thinking. So your life will speak. Your actions actually tell who you are. As I said, God is not going to judge you on your doctrine. He said, he will judge you by what you do with that doctrine you profess. In other words, he didn't say when he comes, he will try every man for his doctrine. He said every man will be judged by the things he has done. You can have the right doctrine, Brother Branham said, and the wrong heart, And if the wrong heart's what's dictating your life, you're going to live a wrong life, okay? But you can have the right doctrine and have the Holy Spirit, you're going to live a right life. So God doesn't judge a person by their doctrine. He judges them by how they're manifesting what that doctrine is. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I believe this or I believe that. And the things that they believe is true, but you look at their life and they treat people just, you know, terribly and everything else. All right. So I'm going to say, Matthew 16:27 says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." So don't tell me when people say, oh, they're just preaching works doctrine, that they even know what they're talking about. Because if your doctrine doesn't reflect in your life, then you don't really understand the doctrine, okay? 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his doctrine." Is that what it says? It says according to his labor. All right. Revelation 12. Oh, look. Noah received his salvation because of his labor, not because his doctrine was right. There might have been other people who said there's going to be a flood too, but they didn't do anything about it. All right. There might be a lot of people saying the Lord's coming soon, but they're not living a life that shows that they're getting ready to meet him. I mean, you don't go into you conduct yourself a certain way before the judge, right? You don't conduct yourself as haughty and indifferent and you know, I can do whatever I want to do because you get shut down right away, all right? Well, we're standing before the supreme judge, so you ought to act like it and not write off brothers because of their doctrinal differences. You ought to just love them anyway. Anyway, Revelation 22:12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his," what, doctrine? Huh? No. "Works shall be." According to his works. From Perseverant, he says, "We've lost that interest of really, of souls. That soul travail that the Christian ought to have, we seem to lose it. I'm not talking about the real Christians. I'm talking about so many of that profess to be Christians. Now, all you hear today is some big something and people going into expenses of millions of dollars for great things and then preaching that the Lord is coming in this generation. Why, the sinner on the street knows you don't believe it, or your actions speak louder than your words when you do that, certainly. We ought to be from house to house and place to place, preaching and crying and begging and persuading and trying to get every soul into the kingdom of God that we can, sending missionaries east, west, north, and south, and everything we can do to get the people saved. You know, look, I mentioned last week, I'm not going around the world to say, or I didn't go around the world to save people, because I know that God's already saved them before the foundation of the world. I'm going to help them to understand the times and conditions we live in. You know, the parousia is happening now. And an understanding of how to be a son, okay? So, you know, there's a big difference there. Now, from identification, you see, sin is unbelief. There's only two channels that you can live by. One of them is faith, that's revelation, and the other one is unbelief, lack of revelation, okay? "He that believeth not is condemned already." Now, smoking, drinking, committing adultery, lying, stealing, carnal impersonation, those things are attributes of unbelief. If you was a believer, you wouldn't do those things. No, you do that because you're not a believer. Oh, you say, but I'm a believer, but by their fruits you shall know them. See, your actions speak louder than what your confession proves. See, when you disbelieve God's word and count it as something gone by, or take some book instead of saying this is just as good as that, it goes to show that you're not a believer. That's right. You're not. And if you was, then you would believe God's word, and it would he would express himself through his word. Now, he was God's word expressed. And he said, "Now, if you can't believe me," he said, "believe the works that I do. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And that's the very thing that tells you who I am. Oh, well, that's the one that says who I am. See, the scripture tells you who I am. You can't get a dove to eat with a buzzard. Not at all. A dove don't have gall. He can't eat that old carrion. He took a little bite of it would kill him. And he knows that, but A buzzard can eat most anything he wants to, see? He's got plenty of gall. So then you find out that's the way it is with the word today, world today. Same thing. They're naked, blind, and don't even know it. Satan did it by the woman's lust for knowledge, for sex, which she chose by her own choosing. I must be healed because God's, man, I'm speaking too fast. I'll have to slow down for you. We know Brother Branham taught us the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. And we find that an attitude is not just mental thoughts that you have about something, but the expression of those thoughts. And of course, the way that you live is the expression of what you are thinking. In other words, your attitude is an outward manifestation, or shall we say an expression of your body, and it's a true indicator or reflection of what is going on in the recesses of your soul. Therefore, there are five points that we must consider when we think of our attitude and how it reflects the attitude of Christ or not. Number one, I want to show you what having the right mental attitude is. Number two, I want to show you what the right mental attitude will produce. Number three, I want to show you why we must have the right mental attitude. Number four, I want to show you how our mental attitude affects those around us. And five, I want to show you how a wrong attitude can cripple your walk and the walk of those we have influence over. Now, to begin with, we must first know that a right mental attitude is, and in order to know what the right mental attitude is, we must first study what an attitude is. So, number one, having the right mental attitude is, according to Webster's Dictionary, it defines attitude as aptness or inclination, and further states the position or posture assumed by the body in connection with an action, feeling, or mood, etc. Now, over the years, I took about 8 classes in negotiation. And so, I understand fully well what Trump is doing. He's not, it may sound like he's tweaking the world, but actually what he's doing is he's preparing them to negotiate. He said, I'm going to have all these big tariffs to 25% at least and this and that, just looking for your response. Well, 75 countries responded well, and so they don't have tariffs. Or small, very small tariffs that will reflect what they're charging us. But China acted really bold and everything else. So he said, okay, you got 145%. All right. In fact, he said 125%. Then they squawked a bit, and so he gave them 145%. And, there's I forget the name of the man. He's a billionaire. And he said, hey, I think it should be 400%. He said, I've dealt with China. They've stolen my factory from out from underneath me. They've stolen my designs and stuff like that. They've stolen my IPs and everything else, and my marketing and stuff. And so he said, I don't trust them. All right. So it's a negotiation attempt. Okay, that's all he's doing, and he's getting good results. So Webster says that an attitude is a position or posture assumed by the body in connection with actions. And I took a course specifically on posture. And, I've talked to you about this before. A man, that's kind of like this, in a phone booth, they say, well, he's probably talking to his lover. A man that's, kind of got his arms folded like this, he's probably talking to his wife. In other words, you can look at a person's posture. Are the hands folded like this? Well, that doesn't show that they're happy and doesn't show that they're really excited. It shows that they're kind of upset. So, there's posture, okay? And that's a fourth showing of your attitude, okay? The posture you take. You go overseas, you put your foot up on the sofa. The Japanese look at you, if your feet are raised up, that's an insult, okay? So it shows your posture, shows your attitude. You're not respecting them. You don't put your feet up on the desk of the king. You might put your feet up on the desk of your own personal private study, whatever, but you don't do it in somebody else's office, all right? It shows your attitude. Now, the word attitude is also defined as a manner of acting, feeling, or thinking that shows one's disposition or opinion. So, in other words, it reflects out in your life. Okay, your attitude doesn't just, how many have you ever, mothers, how many mothers have ever told their kids, you're sure wearing your attitude on your shoulders today, In other words, you're expressing yourself, all right? Now, if you caught the main points in each of these definitions, the first stating that attitude is a posture or position of a body in reference to or in connection with an action, feeling, or mood. So in other words, it's the body reflecting, okay? The other is the action, feeling, or thinking shows your opinion, disposition, or mindset. So when you think of attitude, think of mindset, okay? There's scripture for that, okay? And we'll get into this later. So we're looking at the position or the posture of the body and those attributes that show when you're thinking, feeling, or expressing your mood. Therefore, attitude is not just a mental cognizance or a mental understanding or a mental leaning, but rather attitude is an outward expression of our disposition. It is an outward expression of our feelings. It is an outward expression of our thoughts. It is a connection of the body to those thoughts and how the body expresses those thoughts. That's what an attitude is. And the key is that it shows how we feel. It shows just what we think about something. The Bible tells us that God would send forth an angel to mark those who would sigh and cry because of the abominations done in the city. Now, the best people that negotiate know how to hide their attitude. They can separate their outward from what's inside, but they can't do it all the time. They might do it with their body, they might show themselves relaxed, whatever, but you look at their eyes. The eyes is a gate to the soul, and you look in their eyes, you see the facial expression, and you've probably seen the show, something about Lie to Us or something like that. It's a show where the guy actually uses facial recognition to tell if a person is lying or not, okay? Well, the Bible tells us that God would send forth an angel to mark those who would sigh and cry because of the abominations done in the city. Now, you think that, well, if I get on my knees and I sigh and cry, then God's going to think that I'm really sincere. No, God actually knows. He can recognize a fake attitude from a right attitude, okay? Your attitude then shows outwardly what you're thinking inwardly. You cannot hide an attitude. It shows and it manifests. Now, you might try to disguise it, but other things will crop up and showing that you're actually lying about what you're saying or doing. Now, attitude speaks of the expression of your disposition, the way you show it in your body's language, in your eyes, in your facial expression, in your tone of voice, and in your posture. Therefore, attitude is the expression of your opinion and your disposition. Now, the word disposition comes from two words, dis and position. Together, they speak of putting in order and refer to the normal aspects of one's nature. Therefore, what we see in attitude is a disposition or the setting in order or the outward, in order for the outward reflection of one's true nature. Now, point number one then is what is the right mental attitude? Well, you have to have the right mental attitude. In order to have it, you would first have to have the right thoughts about what the object of your thinking is. And that means that you must have the right opinion, and there is only one right opinion, and that's God's opinion. What does God think about it? Because the Bible tells us his thoughts are not our thoughts, for his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So if something comes and you've got to make a decision, go to what God says about it, and then you will know what I should do. Okay? I'm going to do what God wants me to do. All right? And if we are able to have a right thinking about anything, it must be what God said about it, and in order to say it, he had to think it first. And in order to know what God's thoughts are about anything, it must come through the instrument of his word. For out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaketh. Therefore, if we are to have the right mental attitude, then we must have the right attitude that was in Christ, or the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 2:5, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And the word mind here is the same Greek word phronio that is used in the word like-minded. So let us be like-minded like Christ. It's also translated as let the mindset that was in Christ be in you. And it's also translated as let the attitude that was in Christ be in you. You know? So that's a key that Paul is bringing to us here, and it is a gift from God that only those he chooses can receive that gift. Notice Paul says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ." And notice then that it is according to Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus. So we see that God has given us a gift to be like-minded. And not only to be like-minded, but like-minded towards one another. And notice he tells us according to Christ Jesus. Now, the only way that we can be like-minded is if we have the same mind. So he is telling us here the same thing that he's telling us in Philippians 2, let the mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the Amplified Version or translation says, have this same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? In other words, let the outward expression be in you, which was the same as in Jesus. The NLT says you must have the same attitude that Christ had. So we know this can only come from God, that God has ordained it to come. In 1 John 1:12, we read, but as many as received him, now the word received here is a Greek word, lambano, which means to take to oneself and lay hold upon and take possession of, to, i.e. to appropriate to oneself. So let as many as received him, to as many as have appropriated everything that he is, all right? Number three, catch at. Reach after, strive to obtain. So as many as have striven to obtain, to them gave he power. Now this word power is not the Greek word dunamis, which we associate so often with miraculous power. But it is the Greek word exousia, which means power of choice, to be able to choose what is right. So notice, as many as have this ability to receive, have this ability to obtain and appropriate to oneself, to them gave he power. Now, you see, God doesn't give everybody the power to do miraculous things, but he's given everybody the power of exousia. You all have the same power of exousia, which is this power, which is this ability to assimilate the life of Christ. All right, the mind of Christ. But it is a Greek word, exousia, which means the power of choice, to be able to choose what is right. You see, every man has a power of choice, but they don't have the power to choose what's right because they don't have the word planted in their soul. So they might make a choice to do this, but the way, you know, the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right to man, but the way thereof is the way of death. So you see, not everybody can do that. So we see God gives us a gift. And that gift is the power to make a right decision. And that decision is to become a son, to act like a son ought to act. So no matter if you have the doctrine of Christ and you understand there's one God, he had a son, if you don't act like a son yourself, you haven't really received anything yet other than a mental tweaking. You haven't received a heartfelt change, okay? To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now, this word comes from the Greek word genomai, and it does not mean that you were a hog and now you have become a lamb. It does not mean you were a seed of the devil and now you have been given power to become a seed of God. No, it means when it says to become, in other words, if you were ordained to be a son and you receive, and God's giving you the gift to receive the fact that you're ordained to become a son, now you start acting like a son. You become what he ordained you to become, okay? No, so it means to become fulfilled or express yourself as a son. In other words, God gives you the power to make the right decision to become what you are already. Now, that's why you can have the right doctrine, but if you are wrong in your heart, you cannot express that doctrine in your life. You see, that's what it means. Now that we know what the right mental attitude is, that it is an expression of God's opinion, and thus his word living itself, expressing itself out in your body, like Jesus said, I have come to do thy will, O God. In other words, I don't have a will myself. I've come to do his will, all right? The next thing we must point to is number two, I want to show what the right mental attitude will produce. From the sermon, I am the resurrection, Brother Bram said, it's your attitude towards it, your attitude towards God's gift, will give you what you ask for. How many want eternal life? Amen. Amen. How many want to live forever and ever and ever in the millennium and on and on and on? Amen. We all do, right? Well, God's given us a gift to be able to accept that and start living like we're going to be there. We don't want to live like a devil on this side and then expect to be changed. You don't get your change when you're resurrected. Brother Brown said the way you came down is the way you go up. All right? So you've got everything in you now to live eternally. Just start expressing it in your life, okay? Now, Brother Brown said, do you understand? Well, how I'd like to stop right here. Brother Bose and punch that for about half an hour, but I can't do it. Your attitude. God sends a gift, and no matter what, you depend on that, on what gift you take toward, it depends on what attitude you take towards it. Look at them who smote his face and spit on him, and everything was no virtue there. But a woman that believed the word touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Is that right? All right. It depends on what you think about it. God sends it. It's your attitude towards any divine gift determines what you get out of it. You see there? In other words, if Noah would have just sat around and talked to the doctrine, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, did nothing about it, it shows his attitude was, well, I really don't believe it, but you know what? For the sake of those around me, you know, I can say that I believe it. No, he did what he talked about, okay? And that's what we're talking about. Not everyone will have the right response to the word. Remember, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Remember John 1:12. But as many as were of such a nature as to receive him, to them gave he an ability to become what they were meant to become. That's what the doctrine of Christ is all about. It's not the fact that we can argue about, well, there's one God and he had a son. You can argue till the cows come home. It's not going to affect anybody. But if they see that you're living like a son, like people saw Brother Branham and he lived like a son of God, and they said, wow, that he's the closest thing I've seen since the Apostle Paul to a son of God. All right? So it's your life. Brother Branham's life is what affected people around the world. It wasn't what his doctrine was, although, you know, he had the right doctrine. But see, his life was affected by his doctrine because he lived what his doctrine was, okay? So if you would live what your doctrine is, you're going to be in good shape. Now, Hebrews 11 is a chapter that we see in its entirety how that the actions of each individual affected, actually showed forth what faith they really had, okay? I mean, some, you know, you know, like Gideon and Barak and Samson, you know, they all slayed the enemy. And, you know, different ones, women, you know, they allowed themselves to die for the sake of Christ. You know, different things happen throughout. I mean, even, you know, Sarah, by faith, you know, received seed, okay? And and she was changed, okay? So we don't have time to read it all this morning, but when you go home, read it again. And change that word faith, you know, to attitude. Just do it in your mind. And read it and look for the actions that prove their faith, that prove their attitude, okay? Again, from the sermon, proving his word, he said, but before we pray for the sick, we got to get the people in that attitude. It's the attitude that will always bring the results. Now, just one more thing. So it's their actions or their attitude which prove their faith, which prove their revelation. All right? Now, just to qualify that. So it's the attitude that you take towards God. Here a woman touched his garment. She was healed with a blood issue. A soldier spit in his face and put a crown of thorns on his head and felt no virtue. It's your approach. The attitude is what it takes. And that's what it is tonight. You see, in the Old Testament, if just anybody callously walked into the holies of holies, they actually had to drag them out. I mean, they tied a rope around their ankle when they walked in. If they didn't walk in right, you know, if they had the wrong attitude, then they pulled them out dead, okay? But if they walked in right, had the attitude that was God's place, and, you know, that then, you know, they, and by the way, on the bells, on the garment of the high priest, when he walked in, he had bells on his, all around it. So he knew as long as those bells were sounding, he was living. When he didn't hear the sound anymore, then you pulled him out because he was dead, okay? So that's it. It's your approach, Brother Branham says. The attitude is what it takes. And that is what tonight, dear friend, it takes the attitude. We are and believe that we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. But it's your attitude that brings the results. Now, how many people believe and actually live every day that he's here? The supreme judge of the heaven and earth is here. How many of us act callously and disregard that as doctrine and don't live that way and don't treat one another that way? See, that's all I'm saying, is just match your attitude, your outward reflection, with your revelation. The mechanics is here, and so is the dynamics. If you can get started, God will do the rest. Now, for the hour has come. He said, now, the right mental attitude, all you along here, do you understand what I mean? Say, the right mental attitude. That's your right mental attitude towards God, or towards God's divine promise, will bring any promise to pass. Now, maybe you don't believe that. You say, well, my faith is weak. I wouldn't confess it. I had one guy tell me all the time, well, you know, I just think I'm foolish virgin. And then, of course, he's, you know, wanting to chase after women and everything else. And I said, well, you know, you're just saying, what is that? See, he's just reflecting what his attitude is. And he wasn't foolish virgin. He's got to be serpent seed the way he's acting. Now, don't let the devil know that. Always say, I have good faith. I have good revelation. How many would say, well, I'm having trouble, you know. How am I ever going to make it? Look at your revelation. Are you a son? You believe you're a son? Then act like it, all right? Don't confess that you're somebody else's son or you're illegitimate. Confess that you're the son of God, okay? I have good faith. I believe God with all my heart. See, don't testify nothing of the devil. He's not my father. God's my father. And when you accept him, God, as your healer, don't never act like you're sick or crippled anymore. Believe that you're healed. Take him at his word. Then it's all over on God then, not on you. See? As long as you take God at his word, then the word will produce what it promised to do. Is that right? Now have faith, believe him with all your heart. 1 Corinthians 13:13. There remaineth faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Now remember, faith is a revelation, and hope then is an earnest expectation because of the revelation. All right? Because of the revelation, I have an earnest expectation, correct? And love is an outward expression, it's an attitude of your revelation. Did you know that? Your love toward one another is an attitude of expressing to that person what you really, if you really love them, you have the right kind of attitude, okay? Your actions being expressed by the body of the hope that lays within. Now, 1 Corinthians 9 and 10 says, it tells us the farmer plows in hope, expecting to reap for his efforts. Now, how many farmers do you know plant their seeds, but they don't expect to reap anything? Well, why are they wasting the seed on planting? Why don't you just eat it? You know, live today and die tomorrow, right? No, they plant their seed with an expectation of harvest. Now Romans 8:24 tells us, if you do not see it, then you are still hoping. But when you have seen it, it shows that your hope has become manifested. All right. So from expectation, Brother Barnes says, for a little text, if I should call it that, I want to speak for a moment or two on the word expectation. We always get what we expect. When people expect anything, well, that then they usually get what you look for. It's the mental attitude that you have. Remember this and never forget it. Now, not to lift a man up, but, you know, Trump, he's a man where he does not allow negative talk in his presence, because he was raised by a certain preacher, you know, who preached on positive thinking, you know. And and so Trump believes that if you talk negatively, then things are going to happen negatively. In other words, the thing you fear the most is going to come upon you. So he's a man who does not accept negative talk from anybody, any of his staff or anybody. I only want you to figure out a way to do it. I don't care if you say it's impossible, it's never been done, do it. And people will try and do it, and people will do it, okay? So when people expect anything, then, well, then they usually get what you look for. It's the mental attitude that you have. How many people could have believed that he turned around things the way he has, all right? It's a mental attitude. It's having the right attitude toward those things that they can be done. And we're going to do it. Like Brother Bram said, I love the noble Roman who lived in emperor's days and said to the coward, when the coward croaked, he said, we're afraid, we're hiding in the tree. He says, I'll find a way or make one. In other words, Brother Bram said, I hate when people are so negative. He said, I love it when a person is positive and believes that it can be done, okay? That's the moral of that story, but I may have not said it. You all know what I'm talking about, okay? So when people accept anything, well, then they usually get what you look for. It's the mental attitude that you have. If your mental attitude is, well, I've got this sickness and I just got to live with it, you'll live with it. But if you believe that, hey, God is a healer of all my diseases, I'm going to overcome this thing, you will overcome this thing, all right? I mean, I'm a testimony of that. You know, I'm not going to say it today, but I'll say it maybe in a week or two. Well, then, they usually get what you look for. It's a mental attitude that you have. Remember this and never forget it. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God. It doesn't take gifts of healing to heal sick people. Any person in here has a right to meet Satan anywhere if you're a Christian and defeat him on the grounds that he could stand on. When Jesus Christ was here on earth and in him dwelled the fullness of the Godhead body, all the great powers of God was in his Son, Christ Jesus. For the scripture tells us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. All things was delivered unto him, though he spoke nothing but what the Father told him. He healed no one but what he first saw being healed. For he said, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. In other words, have patience. Hold to your confession, your belief, and wait for God to give you that trigger. When that trigger comes, and Brother Brown said, how do you know God's in it? He said, it's in your heart to believe it. He says, it's in the Word. And he said, then it'll come to pass. And when you've got those three things happening, you know God's in it. Then you can say, thus saith the Lord. Then you can say, God did this. Till then, just keep your mouth shut and just keep believing. All right? Now, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself but what he sees the Father doing. That was St. John 5:19. In 1 John 3:13, everyone that has his hope does something. He purifies himself as he's pure. Now, how does he do that? By the washing of water, by the Word. Every man that has his hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. How? By the washing of water, by the Word. How does a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word. It all comes back to Word, 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 Word. All right? 1 Peter 1:3. We enter into a living hope, or a hope that has been made alive. That's what 1 Peter 1:3 says. I didn't have room here to really read the scripture. Okay. Now, we would see Jesus. Now, if Mohammedan, a living, let him speak. If Jesus is a living, let him speak, and you decide. Don't ever be afraid to put any divine promise of God to action. And remember, don't ever forget this quotation, that the right mental attitude towards any divine promise in this Bible will bring it to pass. Just remember that. Oh, that just gave me a thought. When you start living like an adopted son, you'll be adopted. I told a woman at work one time, when I worked at Pioneer, and she was kind of a smart aleck. She thought she was better than the other, so anyway, during her review, she said, well, why can't I become a manager? Why can't I, do this and that. I said, listen, I see you standing at the water cooler gossiping about people all the time. I said, you don't dress like a professional. You don't act like a professional. And I said, if you act like a manager and if you speak like a manager, I said, then others will see, hey, you've got manager potential. She changed the way she did. And she became a manager, okay? So that's all it takes is you got to start living like it, breathing like it, acting like it, speaking like it, and you become. You know, the old expression, sounds like a duck. It must be a duck. All right. Either that or, you know, because what does a duck say? Okay. So it's either a duck or it's a doctor. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. That's just to be facetious, okay? So he says, the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God in this Bible will bring it to pass. Just remember that. The right mental attitude towards any divine promise that's written in the Bible will bring it to pass. So now, just keep that on your mind. If God made a promise and you'll take the right mental attitude towards that promise, God will fulfill everything that he's promised. I know that to be true. And I've seen a sarcoma and cancer healed in that because people believe that it was the truth. In 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3 says, remembering without ceasing your faith and labor of love. What's labor? Remember, he says, every man according to his labor. It's your attitude expressed, okay? Labor of love and patience. What is love? Well, love is always expressed in giving, helping people, all right? In other words, God said, for God so loved the world that he what? He did what? He gave, okay? And patience of hope. Patience of earnest expectation in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now, 2 Thessalonians says, we are bound to give thanks always for you, brethren, because as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly and the charity of every one of you, the giving of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So I'm seeing your charity toward one another, your love. See, your charity toward one another growing, okay? Now, from the noble Roman, Brother Branham said, I want you to notice his attitude. He didn't approach feeling that he had it coming to him. He approached saying he's unworthy. I want you to take that attitude also, that you cannot come with a predominating attitude and get anything from God. You must come reverent, humble, and then God will deal with you. Now, just remember that. When you come to God, you don't sit back with your feet up and say, God, help me do this and do that. You get on your knees. That's the first thing. You're showing obedience. You're showing subjection to the Almighty. Then you come reverently, and you watch what the difference is. And then you will get what you ask for, and that's the attitude that this noble Roman taken, or this Roman taken. Look at his approach to the Lord Jesus. He said, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. So I sent... I felt myself, I wasn't worthy to come to you, said, just speak the word. He said, I'm a man under authority, and I say to this man, go, and to this man, come, and they come and they go. All right, go and they come. He said, you just speak the word, and my servant will live. I want you to notice that. That Roman being under authority, that knew that whatever was under him had to obey him, on his testimony, he witnessed that Jesus Christ was over all sickness. He couldn't make sickness obey him, just the same as he could make his soldiers obey him. If one of the soldiers failed to obey him, it was a death penalty. And he recognized the same authority in Jesus over evil spirits of sickness or sickness. That's why he said, just speak the word. From Elijah, he says, her attitude towards Elisha brought her to victory. If she'd have went up to Elisha and said, now, you looky here, you hypocrite, my pastor was right after all. See, if she have went that way with that kind of attitude, she'd have never gotten anything from him. Her attitude towards the man of God produced what she got, her victory, because she believed. That's the only way that you'll ever do. And what did she get? She got a son raised from the dead. That's what she got. Now, if you believe that Jesus Christ is some mythical story, some Santa Claus affair that they tell children or something like that, you'll never get nothing until truly in your heart that you believe that he's the Son of God, he died and rose again, ascended on high, and is living with us right here tonight, and will do anything that he promised he would do in his Bible. When you get like that, something's happened, something's fixing to happen. Then she picked up the baby and bowed before him and recognized him to be the servant of God and bowed her head and went out with her heart full of love, all the great crisis. What if she just sat still and said, well, all hope is gone. The doctor just left and said there is nothing could be done. And now my baby is dead, so I suppose that's all to be done. What if that woman in Mexico whose baby had died in the morning and the doctor confirmed it had said, well, I guess it's time to make burial preparations. We'll just bury the child. Now, she believed that she could just get her man, if she could get herself to that man that laid his hands on another man who was blind and he saw, if I can get my baby to that same man, I'm going to see the same result. Amen. Got it? Amen. Attitude, okay? She'd probably make a great supervisor someplace. Well, anyway. What if she just sat still and said, well, all hope is gone. The doctor just left and said there's nothing could be done. And now my baby's dead. So I suppose that's all that can be done. She sat helpless. The story would have never been told. If no faith had ever come into her heart, it wouldn't have been that way. But God in his mercy placed something in the mother's heart. What's that? Exousia. You see it? He placed exousia, the power to become what you're ordained to become. God placed something in that mother's heart that she knew there was something could be done. She didn't know, she didn't have, thus saith the Lord, it will happen, but she knew it could be done. With God, all things are possible. You may be sitting like that tonight with your family, maybe every hope that you've ever had of getting well. The doctors discourage you. How many have ever gone to a doctor and he's encouraged you? Most of the time they discourage you. Like the doctor said to me, well, I'm looking at what I see and you should be dead or at least sucking through a straw. That's no way to talk to people. You say, look, it's a miracle that God did for you. Instead of saying something discouraging. It's taken me a while to get over that. But I'm over it because I'm over with doctors. I'm sorry, but I am. I'm over with doctors. And I'm going to the doctor, and that's Jesus. Now Romans 4:18 tells us, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the savior of many nations. And misspelling there. From Titus, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice, all these attitudes, okay? First of all, only 2:19. For what is our hope? Or joy or crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Galatians 5:5. We are through the Spirit. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That's right understanding. And Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given. It's a gift given unto us. Okay, so we've looked at attitude today. Let's make sure that our attitudes reflect who we are. Adopted, not sons of God, miserable, little babies. Let's act like adopted sons. Amen? Ready for the going home. Ready for the change of the body. That's commensurate with the way we are, with the way we feel, with our attitude. Let's just pray. Thank you, Father, for this word. It was just so wonderful, I believe, and it's going to help us, Lord. And Lord, you're just totally in control. And so I ask that you bless these words, and may they fall upon the people as seeds and truly produce a church that is unspoiled, that is ready, adoptable, ready for the change of the body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.